Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for downloading this kind of special, something a bit different here, episode of the Inside Running Podcast. What this is this is a bit of a recap, a bit of a kind of teaser, I guess, episode of some of the stuff that we're putting on Patreon extra at the moment, which is the road to, it was the road to London Marathon, now it's called the Road to Nowhere, because obviously the London Marathon got cancelled. This is a little side project that we started up with Ali Pashley, Joel Tobin-White, and Nick Earl. Three guys that I think most listeners would know a lot about. They've all been on the show and we kind of reference, especially Ali and Nick, quite regularly. This was a kind of really similar kind of side project to how Brad, Julian, and I started with the Road to Berlin stuff, and it's got kind of similar vibes where it's really unscripted. They don't work off an agenda or a kind of schedule, no segments. They kind of just talk about their running weeks, and they just happen to talk for about an hour and 20 every single Wednesday night when we record it, and then we kind of put it out Wednesday evening for most people to listen to Thursday, unless you're overseas. We put this little episode together for a number of reasons, like A, to preview just how funny they are, and also give you a bit of an insight into how their thinking's changed since, well, I guess before London Marathon started, through the kind of cancellations of World Half Marathon for Ali and Joel. And now there's kind of no races on, we kind of tried to include a bit of stuff about giving you updates about where they're at in their running journey. And also some kind of funny bits that have kind of happened along the way as well. This is just a teaser from the first 5 episodes. These guys have recorded 8 episodes, I think. So, yeah, this is just the first bit of it. It's hard to try and cut kind of 6 hours of content into 1 hour, maybe 55 minutes, I think it was in the end. So, yeah, it's just a tiny, tiny percentage of what you could possibly hear if it's something you enjoy over on Patreon. And, yeah, kind of keep following their journey. We've just kind of decided today, actually, just confirmed that we're going to keep this going. It was just meant to be like a little 10-week program to start off with. And then we've just been so happy with how it's been unfolding that we definitely want to keep bringing it out. And the response from the patrons has been like amazing to hear that they're getting so much enjoyment from it. I know personally when I'm not hosting it on the kind of other 2 weeks, I really enjoy listening to it. I think Nick and Joel are super witty and have some great banter, some great one-liners. And I think you'll agree in some of the audio you'll hear here as well. And it's just such an amazing insight to hear from someone super elite like Ali Pashley week in, week out, especially, you know, just how humble and grounded she is from someone who's, yeah, potentially lining up for her first Olympics in maybe 2 distances. We'll see what happens, how that all unfolds. Before I do throw over to the audio, a massive language warning. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because it only goes out to a smaller number of people that they just, they're a bit looser, they swear quite a lot. So if you're in the car, if you've got kids around in the house, wherever you listen to this, I'd definitely maybe stop this recording now and maybe just download one of the G-rated running podcasts out there, because yeah, they do go off track, they do start swearing, and yeah, a bit of that's included here. Anyway, guys, if you like it, there's way more of this stuff on Patreon. If you don't, just enjoy it. Well, if you don't, you're probably going to turn it off. If you don't want to keep listening to it, just enjoy this little teaser, this little recap of some of the stuff you can hear. Hope everyone is safe and well. Have an awesome weekend. I think this is going to hit a lot of people on their Sunday morning long runs. So if you're about to lace up for a long run, the church, the Sunday long run, enjoy that. And stay safe, guys. Cheers.
What we want, and the future is certain. Give us
All right, welcome to episode number one of the Road to the London Marathon 2020 podcast series. Thank you, patrons, for supporting the Inside Running Podcast and giving us the opportunity to bring you this little side project over the next 10 weeks, 9 weeks beforehand, and 1 week after the London Marathon in April there. Pretty excited, pretty stoked that we've been able to put a panel of these three people together. You'd have heard from them all before. They've all been interviews and stuff in the past, but I'm going to quickly introduce them just to remind you who they are. Ladies first, Ali Pashley. She's been on the show a number of times. First back in episode number 13, Ali. Did you know that?
No. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Your episode
helps
so...
when your coach is one of the hosts.
We were desperate for an interview that week as well. I remember, remember just like, hang on, I'll be able to get Ali. She's run 2:26:21 for the marathon over at the Nagoya Marathon in 2019. 31:18 for 10K when she was 13th at the World Championships. And her recent marathon, she was 8th at the New York City Marathon in 2:27:07. Has her own Wikipedia page. And another stat we got about you today, Ali, was there's only three people from Australia, distance runners, who have qualified for the Olympics in more than one distance. Yourself, Jessica Hull, and Stewie. So you're in some pretty good company there. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think the marathon time's probably a bit softer than some of the other events, so I got lucky there.
Oh, yeah, being modest straight up. Our other panellists for this next 10 weeks, Joel Tobin-White has a half marathon personal best of 62 minutes and 3 seconds. He's also got a 10K PB of 29:25 and a 5K in 13:55. Used to be a triathlete, now a runner. He's building for his debut marathon at London Marathon. An expert on all things music and works at a wine shop as well. Welcome to the show, Joel. Also featured on episode 116.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming along. And our final panelist for the next 10 weeks is the course record holder at the Hobart and the Great Ocean Road Marathon. He's won those two events, obviously. Also won the Canberra Marathon. He has ran under the magical 2:14:40 mark for the marathon. Also ran 64:31, 14:09 for 5K, 29:34 for 10K. And was recently on our 121st episode, which just came out a couple of days ago, trying to make the UK marathon team. Nick Earl, welcome to the show.
Cheers, Brady. Thanks for having us. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming along, guys. Thanks for giving up your Wednesday night for the next 10 weeks. It's going to be pretty exciting. We're just kind of talking off air that we can, you know, play along at home and see some of the stuff that you guys put on Strava. Joel's on the old Garmin Connect, so it's going to be new information every week from him every Wednesday, and kind of super exciting that we could potentially be talking to three people who are going to run super fast at London Marathon and then possibly an Olympic marathon later on in the year. So thanks for giving us some time. Thanks for listening, being on the journey as well. Listeners.
All right, welcome to episode 2 of the Road to London series. I'm joined once again by Joel, Ellie and Nick. How are we, team?
Who goes first?
No, just, that's all you need to say is good. I feel a bit nervous.
Good.
This is Brady's area, is the whole like introducing everybody, hosting, but... Yeah, I'm not sure if you guys saw any of the social media stuff during the week, but you guys absolutely nailed it. So, yeah, looking forward to hearing how your weeks went. But before we get stuck into your training weeks...
You're doing a great job, by the way, mate.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks. Before we get stuck into your training weeks, just like to congratulate Joel and Ellie, who have been announced in the Aussie team for the World Half Marathon Champs, which will take place
on the
29th of March in Gdynia in Poland. So, yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, Brad. And thanks for explaining to us how to pronounce the name of the town that we're going to.
I had to Google it last night. I'm like, yeah, silent G.
Yeah. Every time somebody asks me where it is, I'm like, good something in Poland.
So, Ellie, when did you find out? And because it's not your first Aussie team, do you still get the same buzz when the selectors call you, or it's sort of like, oh, yeah, I've done this before?
I found out only, I think it must have been Friday last week. My first team was actually the World Half Champs 2 years ago. And that one was probably a little bit more exciting, to be honest, only because I wasn't really expecting to make that team that year, and yeah, being my first one, I think. But yeah, this time it's still always nice when the phone rings and you don't know who it is, but you answer it and it's someone from Athletics Australia rather than a telemarketer, and yeah, they have good news for you. So yeah, no, it's good. I'm excited. I really like Poland, and yeah, it was a really fun trip last time when we went to Spain. So should be fun again. Good crew going.
Yeah, it's a big team. And what about you, Joel? This will be your first Aussie team.
Yeah. So it was really exciting. It was a big relief because I had one of the fastest half times, but I did it. Well, how long ago? A year ago. So I thought maybe they would have forgotten about it.
Yeah, and did it
about that time. So yeah, it was a big relief.
Does this change anything in your marathon prep, or you'd sort of factored it in a long time ago?
Yeah, factored it in. Yeah, a fair while ago. Well, the coming back from my last injury, world half was going to be the first race. So because I haven't raced for, geez, a long time. So world half, and then into London.
And Nick, have the UK named their team?
Yeah, they named it like 2 days ago. They're sending five, I think. So they're sending full team, which is really good actually, because they don't normally. And they've actually embraced this one. It's kind of funny. They just embrace some things. They embrace the 50K world champs, and they sent a full team to that. It's like, what the hell are you doing? And then you're only sending one to actual world champs, which is ridiculous. But I don't know what they're thinking. But at least they're doing a full team for this, which is really good.
Tuesday on the track at Waverley, had a pretty tough session. Coming on again, I think it's just I'm struggling with those hard Tuesday track sessions off the back of such a big long run. Just not used to it. We had some mile. Yeah, four lappers around Waverley with a lap jog recovery. So first one was 4:43, which is 2:54 pace. Second one, 4:39, 2:52 pace. Third one, 4:45, which is 2:55K pace. And then I blew up and got through 1,200. And I was at 3:10 pace, so I was a long way off the group. Mind you, there'd already been a few casualties, so we were in a big group and people were just blowing up. And yeah, I was struggling, so I called it at 1,200 and had a bit of a longer rest. I sort of chilled out for a minute and then did my lap jog recovery, and then did my last mile at 3:01 pace. So
I jumped back on. What were you wearing on your feet?
4%, but it's on the grass. I honestly reckon they're slower than the shoes I used to wear.
Oh, mate,
I just find 4% on grass.
Yeah, 4% on grass. It's almost soft on soft, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so light on my feet. It's sort of, that's one thing Ryan Gregson, we were talking about running. He ran his big like threshold Caulfield PB a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how it's definitely the 4%. And I said to him, I feel like the 4% obviously make a big difference on the road, but on grass and a threshold for me. And he's like, yeah, that's because you're so light on your feet. Whereas people that push into the ground, they obviously have more of a return, energy return.
Yeah. So. I think they did studies on that. They found that the heavier you were and the heavier your foot strike was, like it was a huge difference with how much benefit you got from them.
Mm. Ah, so that's why Moose loves them.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that video of you and him on the treadmill.
Oh, jeez.
And he sounded horrendous.
Yeah, I was saying, coined him the heaviest sub 2:15 marathoner in the world.
Hey,
I can't really talk. I'm pretty heavy on my feet as well.
Joel, do blow-ups happen a lot at MTC? Because you've got, I guess, such a wide range of abilities at any one time. Is it just everybody tries to hold on for as long as they can in sessions, or people do actually just run within themselves?
There's a lot of look. We have a bunch of guys that are like really consistent trainers. And then other people that are sort of, you know, more up and down. So, you know, I'm one of those that are, you know, more up and down. I can have like a few weeks where I'm like, wow, I'm really on top of things. And then I go to a session, I'm just, boom, really bad. Mm-hmm. And I think obviously with the introduction of this marathon training for me, it's just the Tuesdays I'm finding pretty hard. But as Nick says, they're sort of the least important of the hard sessions now. Whereas for the, you know, 5-10K guys, but, you know, you've got guys like Stewie. Well, obviously, who's going to be pushing him, to be honest? He's flying at the moment. So he's just, he's got his own group. It's sort of him and Brett. And then there's a bit of a gap to the main group. So you've got, you know, Geordie and Ryan, me, Jack Bruce, you know, Bucks. It's good having Ben Buckingham as well, because I sort of, yeah, him and I are quite similar at the moment on those Tuesday sessions.
And so what are your plans now with World Half? Like, when do you head overseas?
So I'm actually going to Nagoya, to Japan tomorrow. I'm supposed to be there now, but they put us back a little bit because of coronavirus. So we're going tomorrow. And then I come back for, I think, probably nearly 2 weeks, and then we're going to London. I think are you flying with us? Am I going with you guys, Joel, to London first?
Think so. Is that on the 22nd or the 23rd?
Yeah, something like that, the Sunday night maybe. So we're going to fly there for a few days, and then we fly to Poland on the Thursday, stay there till the World Half Champs is on the Sunday, and then we'll fly back to London on Monday and then stay there and train until the marathon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And we're up to in Japan.
To Nagoya. I'm pacing the women's marathon on Sunday.
Oh, cool. Yeah, nice. Yeah. What have you been asked to do?
So I'm pacing to 30 Ks and it's 225 pace. So wow. It's about 26s, I think. Similar to the pace that I ran on the weekend.
Sounds like my Gold Coast pacing job. Exactly. It's pretty much exactly what we do.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Cha-ching there. You're going to have to give Moose a cut on this.
Yeah, no, he doesn't get a cut. He gets coaching fees.
Which have just gone up, I reckon.
Hey, question for all of you, just because you're all going to be doing so much travel over the next month or so, does the coronavirus like concern you at all, or you're just going to just go on and live your normal lives and not worry about it? Like, have any of you actually thought about changing plans at all?
I've just had rumors that they were talking about, well, some people are putting forward the idea that London Marathon's going to get canned, but, you know, it's all rumors, isn't it? So yeah. we've just got to assume it's going to be fine. You can't. Well,
some of the big races like the first big World Triathlon Series race got cancelled. That's Abu Dhabi, and then World Uni Cross Country, one of the guys in my squad made that, and that got cancelled. Well, they say it gets postponed, but...
Where was World Uni Cross going to be?
Morocco, so a little bit different than London, but no, I'm not worried. Same
with you guys. they might end up making an elite race like Tokyo, you know, so...
Yeah.
You know, if that's...
Well, that's
the
what they've done in Nagoya as well. They've cancelled the mass participation race because it normally has 20,000 and they're only running the elite race now. But I think Japan are being extra cautious as well. I think they're trying to just keep it, I guess, as limited spread as possible because of the Olympics.
Yeah,
so sure. They're probably being even more cautious than any other country for that reason.
It has got to England. So, you know, there's a few cases coming up in the news and stuff. So, yeah, just have to keep an eye on it.
It's just like the flu, though. Like, so many people die each year from the flu, and this is just because it's new.
Yeah, so it's like 1.5% instead of 1% from normal flu, basically. So it just...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But
I think I saw 0.8 to 2%. I could be wrong about that. So it was double, more than double. I could be wrong. Anyway, still 2%. Come on.
Yeah. Everybody just washes their hands and
takes toilet paper
from when they cough.
As long as everyone buys all the toilet paper at the supermarket. Yeah.
I love some of those memes of people just wrapped in toilet paper saying Australians fighting coronavirus.
It is weird, though, that that's the thing that everybody's most worried about. Like,
it's so bizarre.
Is food more important?
I saw this, someone posted, like, they got about 10 Frozen 2 DVDs or something. He said, oh, just in case coronavirus hits. I was like, oh, I love it.
All right.
Frozen 2 DVD.
Love All right, it. Nick, over to you. And my other question was, and there's actually a few people have been saying that you should take the mantle of the most unhygienic guest that we've had on the show. Take the mantle from Ash Watson. Because what do you do when you, like, you commute and you go and have coffee with someone, or you commute and you go to pub trivia? Do you just rock up in your, like, Melbourne uni singlet or your Taz uni singlet after a run and just sit down and, you know what I mean? Like,
Right. Okay, let me explain. Right, so, like, pub quiz or whatever, or coffee, the most I'll run is 2Ks. Hobart's cold most of the time.
Oh, you're still going to sweat it up in 2Ks of running.
Oh, I don't. I genuinely don't work up a sweat. And if I do, then I'll just have a shower. I've got showers at uni. I mean, when I went around my friend's house, because I'd just done a big run, I just had a shower there. So it's a bit weird when you go around a friend saying, right, I'm just going to jump in the shower. But, you know, they all know me as a runner and they're like, yeah, fair enough, whatever. And, I never get any complaints. So okay. Either people are lying to me.
Or we talked about this last week. Yeah, everyone's just too polite around you. They're all, people have been messaging me behind your back.
God, that guy.
Ash Watson's loving it. He's like, oh, at least somebody's more unhygienic than I am.
I am actually pretty hygienic. So, like, all my clothes, I do washing all the time, and I have like 3 showers a day. So generally, I'm pretty good. But yeah, and sometimes, you know, say I'm jogging to the pub, I'll walk for the last like 300 meters or something, not putting that on Strava because I'm not running. And and that will just air myself out a bit and call myself out.
All right. Let's move on. I think the less said,
I've also
the better.
Got a standing desk. I've got a standing desk at work right next to a window as well. So I'm not even sitting. I can just air myself out. It's all good.
All that's doing is blowing wind in and going straight under your armpits. Like into I say, your colleagues. Well,
the thing about Tasmania, right, everyone's outdoorsy, so everyone's got like hiking boots in the office or like their bikes and their bike stuff, you know, so we all stink down here. It's everyone's outdoorsy and everyone smells. It's fantastic.
So what you're saying is you love a pommy shower, hey? Just throw the deodorant on.
Pommy shower, is that what it's called?
Have you never heard of a pommy shower?
No, we call them a Glaswegian shower.
Ah, using deodorant instead of taking a shower is a pommy shower here.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Wow. When I was in America, they called it a Mexican shower. I was like, oh. It's funny how everyone has different names. So here, that's a pommy shower. There you go.
Yeah,
I finally learned something today.
Which makes sense.
I knew it. What I do Friday? Oh, just commutes and barefoot laps again. And then did a K. I went on a night out and I was wearing my runners, so I ran home, thought I'd put that on Strava. Got some banter off some homeless people actually in the park. They seem to mistake me for this 18th century German philosopher called Immanuel Kant, because as I ran past they were like, you can't. Even the homeless people here are well educated.
You've been practicing that all day, haven't you?
Mate, I thought about that.
It's been a week.
I was like, mate, I'm going to...
7 days in the making.
I was proud of that one anyway. Moving swiftly on. Next day, I was doing the Tassie Champs. 1,500 metres on the Saturday.
Welcome to the third episode of Road to London. My name is Julian Spence. I'm a host of the Inside Running podcast. I'm also a guest host of Road to London this week. I'm joined by two elite runners, Ali Pashley and Joel Tobin White, and another runner called Nick Earle. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Thanks, Jules.
From a fellow amateur to another amateur. Hey, Julian.
If Nick's not elite, then neither are you, because he beat you, remember?
Oh, bringing it early.
Hey, I make the jokes here. This is my show. You're just on it.
That's not a joke. That's a fact.
Ali, you might know Ali. She's self-confessed best female runner in Australia. And Joel used to be the triathlete, but he never won Noosa, so no one knows who he is.
Hey, Nick, Pete Kerr knows who I am.
I did some research on this. Nick, you're most well known for celebrating coming eighth in Z grade at a Vic Miles 800 meters.
But you'll find it was second in the D race if you actually did some research. But yeah, you know.
All right, we're all here now and we've put it on the line. I'm going to talk to you about your week of training. Let's start with probably the smartest of the bunch, Ali. Let's talk about your week of training. So.
Along this straight flat section of the river, and it was pretty variable, my paces, but I kind of had a headwind one direction and then a tailwind the other way. So I think the average was about 3:10, but some of them were a bit slower and then some of them were a bit faster when I had the tailwind.
Hey, Nick, I'm fucking hosting this thing, all right?
Yeah, I'm the one with the interesting questions, dickhead.
I'll answer both of your questions one at a time.
I'll be the mediator then.
Fine, Judy, go first. Age before beauty.
So the rest was actually, I think it was supposed to be 60 seconds, which I did for the first five, and then I was really puffed. So for the last couple I took, I think about 80 seconds, just to get my breath back a bit more.
I enjoy how you left that off Strava.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to write an essay for every session.
My question was, when you're told about 10K effort, that's obviously race pace. So you're not listening to that Tin Man guy because he's talking about what you would have run that day, unless you reckon you're in PB shape.
Yeah. Or actually, my 10K PB is faster than 3:10s, Nick. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but are you in that? Would you have run that on Wednesday the 4th?
Nah, absolutely not. Yeah.
Well, then you're not listening.
I was definitely running harder than 10K effort.
Nick, I think you got that confused. I think he means like 10K at the shape that you're in at that particular time, not what you could run
day. He said literally what you would run on that day, like for that, like as in if you weren't doing a training session. You had a race, 10K. That's the pace he was talking about. We can ask Brad. Seriously, that's what he was saying.
But how would you know? It's going to be...
Yeah, you never know, would you?
You're sort of guessing, yeah.
And I think it would be too easy doing 8x K off a minute. Like,
is that with a taper? Do you include... Or you're saying, like, not tapered, going into it with fatigue? That's what
no, he was saying that, yeah, exactly. Like, if you're going to run a 10K right now after you've been... You haven't tapered, you run, like, 31 minutes or something. He said that should be... the pace for your 10K kind of workout.
Yeah, okay. I actually agree with Nick. That was what I thought he meant too.
I thought that was way too slow, but obviously this guy is more, you know, well-credentialed than I am.
Well, is he?
Don't ask me.
Anyway.
he coaches a lot of people and he's got quite a lot of success, so I guess he is well-credentialed.
Anyway.
Anyway, I'm on prednisolone and I've been given 2 days because there were two options. It was either get a scan, get a injection, and that would mean, you know, you have to have a week off after an injection. So then it's like, well, that becomes 2 weeks out, 2 weeks off running, 6 weeks out. Like, let's face it, I'm not going to be racing. Otherwise, get on a course of pred and hope the inflammation dies down, and I'll go for my first jog Friday morning. And it's actually feeling really good. So,
fine water running and bike riding?
Yeah, fine. Yeah. So they couldn't recreate the pain in any way. It's a really weird thing. Like, it's literally only weight bearing. I can do, you know, move my hip, I can move in any direction. It's just, yeah, weight bearing. But yeah, one of the side effects of prednisolone alone is feeling really like jittery. So I'm just going to, I've got to shut up now because I just keep talking.
Can't
so
sleep.
Is it anti-inflammatory? Is that basically what it is?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
a steroid.
It's a steroid.
It's like,
all right, so you're on steroids.
Right. It's yeah. You need a TUE.
It's legal
if
out
you're,
of competition, I think, isn't it?
You can't use it on
the
day.
I'd get a TUE for it anyway.
You did?
The sports doc. It's from the sports doc, so yeah.
You don't need that if you're at a competition. You can take that and train, no dramas.
Yeah. Oh no, I do. I train on it all throughout the year.
So you don't, no. Japan went really well on it.
It's actually really bad because it if you're having it like consistently, can make your bones extremely brittle.
I know you can't
happens
sleep.
In,
I fucking hate it.
Yeah, you can't sleep. You have to have one. The first 3 days, it's two a day. And yesterday I had one in the morning and one at night. And I was like, could not sleep at all. So today I did one in the morning, one at lunchtime. So to try and.
So
yeah,
you
really are though.
Did you receive a phone call about how did you find out about World Half getting postponed?
Nick sending me a message the day after I had the scan.
Ah.
I woke up to the message and I just went, "Fuck yes!"
Like, yeah. Really
the biggest blessing
probably
in disguise. I was like, "Thank God!" Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, "Oh no! Oh, that sucks!" And I'm like, "Woohoo!"
Do you think you might lose your spot on the team though?
Impossible.
What about glowing?
Well, no, it's not impossible.
He's a 62-minute guy.
It'll be fucking 18 months since he ran it. He won't have touched a race for 18 months.
Jules is going to try and get your spot off. Watch out.
Good luck.
62. Yeah, good luck.
You'll be fucking 47 before you're ready to run again. Oh yeah, no, so that's worked out well for you. What about you, Ellie? How do you find out?
I found out when I woke up. I think you text me on Saturday morning, was it? So I had mixed feelings about it. I was disappointed initially, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, I think this is actually good. It means I can go overseas a bit later. I can stay here and train. A half marathon 4 weeks out from a marathon I didn't actually think was ideal anyway. Like, I would have preferred it to be 6 weeks out or something. It's annoying because we'd already organized all of our flights and stuff. But I think it's okay. I think for London, it's probably better, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. Nick, how do you feel about it?
Well, pretty gutted, mate. I was looking forward to watching that, sitting on my couch.
He wanted us to all wear ourselves out in Poland so that he could smoke us in London.
We're all on the same team. All on the same team, Ant.
Sad to hear, Joel. But look, you're still confident by the sounds of it. You're a pretty confident guy after this. Fuck me. I don't know if I'd be as like up and about as you are.
That's the prednisolone.
Oh yeah.
But when you're running 62 before, off 2 weeks training, what can you do with 6 weeks training?
It wasn't off 2 weeks training, but it was. I had 2 weeks in bed. I had 2 weeks in bed a month out.
Hang on, so you
half
were
is a
one.
Total different thing.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Do you feel relieved now that it's not as stressy?
Mainly because it just means that if London doesn't work out, I can just get back into training. Look, to be honest, the thing I think I really need to be a successful runner is just a good year of just consistent training.
All right. Well, let's hopefully have an up week next week.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'll get kicked off the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's not too many left.
Yeah, I will. That's a good idea. I'll host because all the other hosts are shit.
Well, we have to deal with what we have to deal with as a host. And speaking of that, we're on to Nick Earl.
Speaking of shit, right, here we go. Nice little introduction there, actually. Very good. So this was good. So that was a good session. Got a bit of
got a bit of couple of comments on there on Strava.
I was gonna say, have you been buying followers like Doug Hammerlock?
I would never sink that low.
Is Catherine Earle your mum?
I joined the the challenges.
And because you have bought followers.
That's bullshit. Look right now at the 5K challenge. I am number one, and because my watch fucks up as soon as I step on a track, once got me for 11K at Zapek, so it had me like leading the 10K challenge, like ahead of like Brett Robinson, who won the race. So that's why I pick up followers, because my watch is stupid.
Keep that watch.
Yeah, I know. But then I've got a theory about this, because I have it on my right hand, because I'm left-handed. So I wipe my ass with my left hand, have my watch on the right hand. So
Oh, that's why I agree, because I'm the same. And on the track, my watch always gives me like an extra kilometer.
Yeah, exactly. And but join the 10K challenges, you'll be right up there. Is where I get all my like Asian and like Indian followers. And yeah, so those guys, they love me. I've got Mohammed Atrassi. Said champ and a couple of emojis there.
Your followers list looks like Jen Lacaze's Instagram follower list.
Oh, they're the same one. Yeah. They tune in for the pic.
Mr. Nass, congratulations, champ runner.
Yeah, they love me. And that's my sister, Catherine, that is. So that's a proper follower.
So half of them are family and half of them are bought.
Yeah, I do have a big family. It's not that big, though. I don't know why. I've got over 3,000 followers now, so I think... Gee, what are you on, Julian? Do you know?
I think I'm a little more than you.
Oh, sure. I think, to be honest, I'm thinking 2:13 I'm going to aim for at London. I think the qualifier at the moment, I don't think that's realistic, so I just want to run bloody well, and I think if I run 2:13 I'll be happy. So
what pace is 2:13 per k?
It's like 3:10, 3:09, 3:10. So I mean, but then if Julian's gonna have a crack at 3:06s, I'm not gonna let that happen. So you know, there's no way I could watch him go. I don't know,
we'll have to see how we feel. I've been shining my elbows for a year this time.
Yeah, but have you dropped any weight? Because
if I fucking smell you behind me,
man in the field,
the elbows are going.
You know, you're gonna stand out like a sore thumb. I just hear you. I'm like, where's Jude? Oh, here he comes.
Andy Vernon's in the race.
Do you guys know if there's gonna be another pace group behind the 2:11:30 group?
Don't care.
Okay.
Don't know. All right. Oh yeah. Who knows? So you're going to go with that, are you, Julian? Is that your current thinking?
Yeah, I'll probably go with that.
But you're going to need to qualify. You're going to need to run 2:11:05. Oh, unless Joel's up the road as well.
Joel, yeah, Joel.
On the sideline with strainers.
Oh, there's Joel. If Joel runs his time, then I'll fucking give up this sport. I know nothing about this sport. If he can pull up the time out from what his build up.
Two words: natural ability.
Yeah, I give him.
I might have some, but I don't know if I have that much.
Well, you've got more than Julian.
Oh no, I know that.
I'm taking that as a compliment. I'm the only one who works fucking hard out of this bunch.
Well, you make yourself work harder because you're 75 kilos.
No, like, hey, I was given a bit
He's pretty skinny again these days, actually, Nick.
You should see what planking does. Anyway, I was told before the start of this show, like, this is about you. No matter how fucking dumb Nick Earle sounds, just let him go. It's his time.
So, well, you haven't done that at all. You've called me out about 20 times.
Yeah, I couldn't. I listened to the first two shows and nearly fucking threw my phone at the wall.
Oh, this is why I gave up listening to the main podcast until I was interviewed, because your bullshit just pisses me off.
They're going at each other, Ali.
I know, I keep trying to break it up with questions, but
the best thing is that I'm a proven street fighter and you're not. So anytime
no, I'm not.
Mate, you haven't won a fight in your life. This is why you became a runner. This is why we all became runners, because we're shit at fight.
Yeah, you're a bit of a gangster in the running world, maybe, but not in the real world.
Oh, Based on what?
I'm going to take that.
Based on there's no gangsters in the running world.
Yeah, no. Nah.
Yeah, what kind of gangster doesn't take a 10% cut of prize money?
All right, so what do we got this week, morons?
Come down, Julian, the Tasmania 10K champs on Saturday. 8:30 in the morning. It's going to be about 8 degrees. And right now.
He's getting married.
I could pop down, beat you in the race, and then fucking smash your head in the afternoon.
Well,
what time am I supposed to get there again on Saturday?
Oh, we need a shit DJ. We already got one shit DJ.
I'm really happy for you, mate, anyway. Like, I hope Bree shows
up. I'll be ring bearer.
I doubt it.
I'm going to tell you a little story, Nick. You'll like this. So the other day, Bree says, "Oh, I listened to the Nick Earl interview," and I said, "Oh yeah, I haven't listened to it. So how was that?" And she goes, "Oh, it's actually quite good. He speaks well." And for this, I had this flash of thought that lasted about 3 weeks. I'm marrying the wrong girl. I've got it all wrong. You're a different person to what I thought you were. You can't like this guy. It was a legitimate thought in my head, and I had to get through it. I didn't sleep for 3 weeks.
Maybe she'll leave you at the altar for Nick.
Well, maybe I'll send her a little text. Can you just message me her number, Julian?
I heard you've got a bit of a reputation as a creep. Anyway.
What the hell? That is out of nowhere.
That's out of order. That was just one night in Hobart. Right.
I thought you'd forgotten about that.
I tried.
Anyway, Nick, I wish you all the best in this running build up. You've got a coach now, which should be good. I was listening to the coaching stuff. So when does that kick in? Now? This week?
Yeah, that's what. I did a session. I'll talk about it next week.
I did a session
yesterday, which is an Andy Hobdell session. And it was fucking hard. And and then some arsehole smashed my window afterwards in my car. So I'll talk about that next week, though.
All right. Yeah, let's not give it away.
I think that's
exactly. Yeah, it was someone from Ballarat. I'm pretty sure. I told the cops. Seriously, just run your fingerprint check through Ballarat.
Was the car on fire? Was it on fire?
It wasn't, actually.
Then it wasn't Ballarat, because they don't leave that shit unlit.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'll tell the cops.
Joel, when do you start running? Friday.
Yeah.
Session? 8x3K or some shit? Straight up?
What, on Friday?
Yeah.
Nah, marathon.
Catch up
session. Yeah, that 44K one.
That would fit the theme of your current training. So
fucking wouldn't it?
You'd probably smash it out the park too, better than any of us.
Natural ability.
We're going to do a workout together, Ali.
Yeah, we're running 40Ks on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
All right.
Yep.
See you there.
Yep.
See you Saturday, Julian.
Oh yeah. All right.
Good. I'll be the one in the wedding dress.
Oh, imagine that.
Oh, that's a horrible thought. I feel sick. I feel terminally ill.
Oh, no, seriously, good luck with that, Julian. That's congratulations, seriously.
Thanks. Should be fun. Good chat, guys. Good chat.
Welcome to episode number one of The Road to Nowhere. Thanks for joining us, Patreon supporters. We'll just open with a brand new song as well. I think it was you, Ali, who suggested that song the other day in our message group. I listened to it today and thought that would be a fitting song for the introduction of this show. Podcast has been renamed, obviously, because London Marathon is cancelled. Welcome to my panelists here, 62-Minute Man, Joel Tobin-White. How are you going?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Yeah, going good, thanks. Nick Earl, 2:14 man, down in Hobart. How you going?
Yeah, good. Just want to say that it's not cancelled. It's postponed till October. So we're going to keep going for 6 months on this road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just keep the title as well. Just get about 50 episodes out of it. Thanks for that correction. Not really good at facts on this show. And Ali Pashley, top 10 at New York finisher. How you going?
Yeah, I'm going pretty well, all things considered.
Freeze and milk. You can't do that. Freeze and milk,
right? Seriously, people freeze milk. My mum does it, actually. It's pretty it's ridiculous, but you can do it.
Yeah, right. It's interesting because we're in the fourth week of this now, and I don't think coronavirus got a mention the first week when I hosted it. Like, I'm sure the listeners could go back and listen to the first three episodes before this one, actually, and just understand how quick it kind of unfolded. Like, it's remarkable how quickly it's impacted the world. And you three, you know?
Yeah, it's like I said off air. Like, we recorded last week, and everything was pretty much normal. And then wake up Thursday morning and the world had gone absolutely mad. Yeah, it was crazy. That Thursday morning was a real, it was a real shock. Everything was getting canned and people were getting, just had to self-isolate and everything. Yeah, it just suddenly kicked off, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Pretty scary.
Yeah.
Let's still go through our week, so then we'll talk about what's going to happen now with your training, considering London's off. Joel, you had the bit of a tester on the Friday off the back of that scan, niggle. Did you get a jab? No jab, because it would have taken too long.
Exactly. No jab. I was bleeding jab to my heart, that's for sure. Went out for about 10 minute walk, and every step it was pretty sore. And I thought, stuff this. I'm just going to try run anyway. And I got it 5 minutes in. And no real better. Hurt a lot. And I thought, I may as well just try and focus on recovery at this point, knowing that London was postponed. So that's right, isn't it? Did we find out on the Thursday? It was the last Thursday?
We found out Saturday morning.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So maybe
we kind of knew what was coming.
I think we knew, to be honest. Yeah, I think I knew. I'd been speaking to a few people. And they'd sort of, I spoken to Moose in the middle of last week, and he was pretty sure that it was going to be canned. So, yeah, anyway, did that run, and, no good. So messaged the sports doctor to work out a plan. I got off the prednisolone because that stuff is awful and makes me feel like absolute shit. So, and it didn't obviously work. And ended up... now it's gone into the next week. So, no running at all. But
5 minutes. Yeah. You got a K in.
Five minutes. No, I got 3K in.
In 5 minutes. Bloody hell. Solid.
Just went sprinting.
Got a cheeky world record and then went home.
Exactly. Yeah, so no, nothing positive to say about my run last week, but I've been told it should be about one more week off. Didn't end up getting a cortisone because the sports doctor is a bit worried. Obviously with cortisone can weaken tissue, and cortisone sort of a last resort that you do. If I was in peak fitness, London was 6 weeks away, boom, we'd cortisone it. I'd have 5 days off, and I'd probably get straight back into running. But now with all the races pushed back, it's probably better to let my body heal. And I've been told it'll be about another week, and it looks like I'll be getting a PRP injection.
People are talking about doing Canberra on your comments. Like Canberra? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That might have been the day that Canberra got cancelled, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're telling me to do Canberra. Yeah,
exactly. Everyone's going, no, it's fine. Do Canberra instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I did, I was trying to, because Canberra really wasn't ideal for us, being that I still felt like I needed that extra 3 weeks to get sort of into peak fitness, but I was thinking,
I was going to campaign for this Ross marathon because I was like, if we get everyone down for it, it could actually be pretty quick. And if we had all the guys who are going to do London or Rotterdam or whatever come down to do this like arse end of nowhere but super flat marathon in the middle of Tassie, that could have been legendary. But unfortunately, that's been canned. So even though I was chatting to the organisers about getting it officially measured, getting it sanctioned and everything, And they're all pumped about it, and then, oh, we're going to have to cancel it. Oh.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, wasn't there? Like, oh, maybe we can do this one, maybe we can do this one. And then I think by the end of the week, it was like, there's no races.
I'm not sure about you guys, but did you find it better mentally knowing that everything had been cancelled, though? Like, everyone being in the same boat rather than some people still having an opportunity to race somewhere and something not on and trying to logistically have those backup plans in place?
Yeah, I felt really sorry though as well for people. Like, I coach a few people that were supposed to do Tokyo and Shizuoka who then that got cancelled. So then they were doing Canberra. So they'd sort of dragged out this marathon block and they were really fit. And then to have that happen twice was pretty, pretty shitty. But yeah.
Double mental blow.
It's like, I mean, logistically it's a bit annoying because I had just stopped. So last week, I just finished up because we were going away for 6 weeks and then I was hoping to try and make the Olympic team. So I wasn't really going to be around much for the next 4 months. So I decided to take a break from physio and in that decision making process, actually, like, London was one of the things where I did think, oh, well, because of that, that means that I can sort of justify not working for a while to focus on running for a bit. But it's a bit annoying, but it's okay. I'll probably do some, I'll try and maybe do some physio work again while we're sort of waiting to see what happens. But yeah.
And like the emotions, like, we're pissed off, frustrated, like, any pity party there, or kind of just moved on straight away and pretty content with it? And how's that kind of changed since Saturday?
I wasn't pissed off. I just felt a bit weird, like a little bit lost, I think. I guess the year I felt like was quite structured with races and my plans and our trips and camps and things overseas. And it just was a little bit of a, like, I don't really know what to do with myself now. So I'm back training, obviously, and this week will be sort of back to normal general training. But it's a weird feeling, and I probably felt a bit flat at some stages, and then at other stages I'm fine, and I'm not worried. It'll be okay, and it's only running. I mean, there's people in much worse off positions than we are, so exactly. It is what it is.
Yeah. All right, Nick, let's hear about your week, another race. Let's hear all things Nick Earl.
Right. So Monday, optimism. So we're talking about 9 days ago. Optimism was high. You know, this is happening. This is everything's going. So this was, we had a day off in Tassie. I don't know if you did on that Monday. So just drove out to a place called Marion Bay, which is absolutely beautiful. Did just an easy 10K because I knew what was happening on the Tuesday.
That's where they do Falls Festival, isn't it? Marion Bay?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is absolutely stunning, this location, honestly. It's probably the nicest... it's hard to say the nicest beach in Tassie, but I think it might be the nicest one I've been to. It's so nice. But got a few pump-ups on the comments. My boy Bajendra from India, he's giving me the weirdest comments all the time. But this one's actually like pretty solid. That's fantastic pace on wet sand, crushing it, champ. Nick Earl, tons of emojis. Now that kind of thing floats my boat. That motivates me. I bloody love that shit. Brian Lyon's giving me some bants as well. You know, what more do you want from Strava? That's exactly what I'm on it for. Next day, this was just an absolute beast of a day. So this is Andy Hobdall, the English coach, coming into coming into my training like properly now. It's a half marathon in the morning at 3:30 for the first half, so 10.55K, and then 3:20s for the second half. In the evening, the plan was to then do another half marathon, 3:20s for the first half, and then down to 3:10s, which was my kind of target pace for the second half. So it's warm up, walk down stuff. It ends up being a 50K day, and But this is his thinking. It's like, this is marathon training. You want to smash up your body, and you know, and just, but then go easy afterwards for a few days and just listen to your body and recover. But this works for him.
Such a change from how you normally train as well.
You are telling me, like, this is absolutely insane. So
the minute I heard about this new coach, I said to Moose, like in our message group, I said, "Nah, you've seriously got to worry about Nick Earl now. This training is legit."
It was absolutely crazy. But then running back towards my car, I still had another like 2Ks to go. So I'm running, you know, I'm running hard. I'm pretty buggered. I've got another 2Ks to go. This, and it's sort of just got dark. This fucking car comes bombing down the road with its lights off. And I could just hear it. I genuinely thought a plane was taking off. And I was just like, fuck. So I had to sort of jump off the road. But being a runner in the middle of a session, I just kind of ignored it and just carried on. Kind of got the heart rate going a bit more and a bit of adrenaline up. I was like, fucking bogans, like trying to run. I also figured they were trying to run over some kangaroos or something. But they were just bombing along with their lights off. And then I went past my car, saw it was still there and just carried on. And I went out and back and turned around. And like, when I got back to my car, having just done that session, I was absolutely fucked. And then there was just glass all over my, all over the car. And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And some fuckers had actually, like, they'd got a screwdriver and popped out one of the passenger side window. And there was glass absolutely everywhere. But I think they saw me coming, and that's why they bombed up the road with their lights off. I think that was them. And they hadn't actually got into my car, I don't think, because my phone was in there, and it was still in there when I got, and my card as well, my bank card. So yeah, that was pretty I was pretty like happy that was still in there, but still like having, like, it's completely pitch black. I've just done a 48k day, and like you're in the middle of nowhere, it's dark, and there's some fuckers in a car, like, who are just with a screwdriver are just trying to nick my stuff. So I wasn't comfortable. So I just found a beach towel in the back of my car and just like put that on the seat, on all the glass, and just bombed it straight out of there. Just went straight to the police.
Because we had the Josh Harris and Geordie Tyler. It's Geordie's birthday as well.
So they were getting on it on Saturday night. So I was at an 80s party actually, and they were at some hottest 100 or something of the decade. I don't know really know what that is, but was it like just Triple J or something? Like something to do with like hottest 100. Anyway, they were a party doing that
of the 10 years, yeah, from 2010 2020.
The best songs in the last 10 years. I don't know any of those songs. Because it's anything past, 2010, I don't really know. Anything before that.
It's all too mainstream for me.
Yeah, it's after the Arctic Monkeys, I was like, I don't know anything.
Arctic Monkeys were there. I was listening to the 100 to 200 today, and they come in there. Not sure about
that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, bit of Arctic Monkeys. Listen to it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the 100 to 200 was quite good, actually.
Yeah.
That's probably better than the...
That always happens.
I don't if they did, like, the top 10,000, maybe some of Joel's music will get in there.
So Joel, just on Joel though for a second, Triple J is still too mainstream as well?
Jeez, I sound like such a wanker. Yes.
Fair enough.
Well,
do you listen to
agree
Triple
with that
R
comment.
Or something?
Yeah, Triple R, PBS, they're the two best, I reckon. Hey, look, Triple J actually has some pretty good stuff sometimes. Just not, I don't know.
I don't think
we've got 7HO FM here. It's no good at all.
We don't get those other ones in the country. I've never heard of Triple R. That doesn't exist.
You like Triple R, Ali?
Like Triple R's like the real alternative cool cats. No, I'm not cool enough for that.
give it a shot. Moose reckons he's cool enough for
is
it.
Is that like a rainbow serpent kind
Julian,
of stuff?
Julian only has just got onto Triple J. He was still listening to bloody
Fox
K-Rock FM. Or Bay FM until a year or so ago.
Sorry,
they're
Nick.
The Geelong ones. I don't know.
I won't hate on Triple J. Look, Triple J is pretty good. It's just, they used to be, you know, back 10 years ago, they'd be you know, proper underground sort of Australian music, and now it's like, what, pop songs are winning the hottest 100.
Dance Monkey.
Yeah. Dance Monkey didn't even win.
Yeah, what did
that's the most annoying song in the world.
Now, what's her name one? The kid from America.
Billie Eilish.
Yeah, see? Billie Eilish is a pop artist. What's she doing winning the hottest 100?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree. It has gone definitely more poppy in the last few years.
But there was one question. Ali highlighted this one today, a bit of a standout. Hopefully we can get some funny answers. Not that this stuff's funny, but we're just trying to, you know, have a bit of humour in what is a bit of a crazy time. Nathan McKay wrote in, if the coronavirus was a session, a workout, what session would it be? You guys had some time to think about this one.
Oh, that's great. Oh, you should have told us that was the one you're going to focus on.
Have you got an answer for me, John? What do you got?
So for those that go up to Falls Creek and follow the usual program, I went with the Saturday hill reps.
Yeah.
6x800 meter hill reps, and I think I've done that for a couple of years, and I don't think I've ever not finished that and felt like I was chronically ill. So I've gone with that one.
Ali,
it's got to be one of the worst sessions.
Yeah, fair enough. Ali, got something?
Yeah, I thought that it was similar to a 40-kilometer progressive long run, where you cut down every 6Ks. Just an annoying thing that you look at all week and think, oh no. But it was actually quite a hard question because I was trying to, think of a way to. Like, the coronavirus is just something that's just so annoying, isn't it? Like,
well, the fact that it's affecting old people, I'm actually going to say, like, I've done a session before when I was aiming for a 1500, which was just 5x200 off a minute as fast as you can, basically. And I think you get worse at that as you get older because you get less fast and you actually get better at the marathon stuff. And the fact that the coronavirus is affecting old people, I'm going to go for a fast session. So I'm going to say that 5x200 is an old person killer, whereas young people seem to bounce back from it absolutely fine. So let's go with that one.
I thought one of his might have said monofartlek, because when you start it, it kind of looks easy on paper. It's not too hard to like get around in the 90-second reps, and then it just seems to escalate.
Mona's in the risk group as well.
That's not why, but then it starts to escalate really quickly, and it like feels like the end of the world, and you've still got so long to go. Like shit gets serious really quick in a monofartlek after about 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think most seconds, that's true. I think sessions just escalate. You're just like, oh, God, this sucks. I think
maybe
that's just running, actually.
Maybe that will be over quickly as well.
Yeah, just got to hang on for 20 minutes.
Like 5x200. It's bad, but then over, and then we can all just get back to normal.